Welcome to Public Health Matters with Dr. Christina M. Madison, the founder and CEO of the Public Health Pharmacist, PLLC, a public health consulting firm. She is passionate about spreading knowledge on public health in order to create healthier and happier communities.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Public Health Matters with me, your host, Dr. Christina Madison, also known as the Public Health Pharmacist. I am so excited to bring another extraordinary guest with us today, Dr. Autumn Zuckerman of Vanderbilt University, and many other accolades to her name. I am thrilled to have someone who I met many years ago and had the honor and privilege of meeting at a professional meeting, which again, I will definitely say ding, 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 like networking, professional meetings, in-person meetings, it's a thing. Please make sure you never know where your paths will meet again. You never know whether or not that person will be your next boss or will help you get a job. So definitely want to put a shout out for membership in professional organizations and networking and mentoring. And we're going to talk a little bit about that. But before we dive into questions, let me go ahead and let Autumn introduce herself and her current title, and then we'll talk a little bit about her journey and how she's making an impact in public health.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me, Christina. I'm very excited to be here. I've really enjoyed your podcast so far and honored to be among the influential people and incredibly interesting and kind and impactful people that you've interviewed on this podcast. So my name, as you said, is Dr. Autumn Zuckerman, and I am currently the Director of Health Outcomes and Research at Vanderbilt Specialty Pharmacy, which is a health system specialty pharmacy within Vanderbilt University Medical Center. And in my current role, I lead research to improve patient outcomes and the patient journey for patients that are prescribed specialty medications, which are high cost, complex therapies that often come with a lot of side effects and require a lot of management. And so at Vanderbilt, we have a specialty pharmacist embedded into each of our specialty clinics throughout the medical center to help patients access and initiate and maintain and really benefit on these specialty medications. And so my team's role is to research that, to improve that where we can, to make it that patient journey as easy as possible for these patients dealing with complex diseases, and also to communicate the value of having a specialty pharmacist in the model that we do have and how that improves patient outcomes. So it's really a great advocacy role in addition to constantly improving patient care.
Absolutely. And I've really enjoyed watching your journey and your progress over just the past few years in general, just because you've had so many opportunities to really shine and to highlight why specialty pharmacy is so important and why we need that ability to practice at the top of our licensure and to have pharmacists that are so knowledgeable being in charge of and managing therapies such as COVID-19 therapeutics, mm-hmm. which I know you're very familiar with at this point. And just also just looking at it from the aspect of containing costs within the healthcare system, because when you do it right the first time, you're much less likely to spend more money and then also have more hospital readmissions, mm-hmm. And making sure that patients are getting the care that they needed in the time frame that they need it and at the best quality possible. So one of the things that I really wanted to chat with you about as we talk about sort of the importance and the role of specialty pharmacy within the space of public health is sort of how did you get to this point? For our audience that may not be able to see you, you are quite, you know, experience for the time frame that you've been within pharmacy. And so I think, you know, talking a little bit about your journey, especially as another woman within this profession, I think it's always important to talk about like how we got to these points, especially when we're in that C-suite level position, and how we can sort of uplift and affirm and help the next generation of pharmacy to get to that point as well. You know, more than half of pharmacy graduates are women, but we are still not representative within the management structure of our profession. So just wanted to address that and really wanted to thank you for your representation.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I think that's a great point to talk about. And I'll start back when I was in pharmacy school. I really started out wanting to be an independent pharmacist. I loved the relationship that you get to build with patients. I worked at independent pharmacy since I was 16, so in total about 10 years. So I loved that. And it wasn't until my third year of pharmacy school that I decided to do a residency after taking an ambulatory care rotation. And so I had really great mentors within pharmacy school that pushed me to look into all aspects of pharmacy. Our IPPE director and APPE director was very influential in making sure that I got a wide array of experiences in my fourth year, everywhere from a reservation in Montana to Indonesia, working and practicing in Indonesia for a couple months, to DC and doing kind of pharmacy, working with the American Pharmacists Association work there. So I really was exposed to a lot, and I highly recommend that to any student pharmacist listening, trying to make your experiences as diverse as possible, because you really don't know what's going to fit and what's going to land and what you're going to be passionate about quite yet. So in that third year, I decided to do a residency, and I went to the Tennessee Valley Healthcare System BA because I wanted to specialize in ambulatory care. And I had, again, great mentors there. Rebecca Cripps was one of my mentors who, speaking about female to female, is just a great resource and an awesome example of a professional who was amazing at her job, also a caring mother, and very involved in our residency program. And so she was a great mentor to me, as well as Kristen Lamb. During my residency. And so I did a first year and then a second year in ambulatory care. And in that second year, we were charged with starting a clinic, a pharmacotherapy clinic from the ground up. And so I was able to start a HIV pharmacotherapy clinic. And I think that's really where we got connected through the ACCP HIV PRN network and mentoring. And I think anybody who's worked in HIV knows that you get very passionate about it very quickly. So love the patient population. I loved caring for a group of patients, especially, you know, within the VA that are often sometimes overlooked or really looked down upon and marginalized in that population. So it was a great opportunity for me to learn and grow from that experience. And I realized that that's kind of where I connected with a specialty patient population that has less common disease, but requires a lot of management. The pharmacist role, I think, really shines in those complex disease states that really you need a lot of hand-holding. And so that was my first research project was, you know, are these vets benefiting from having a pharmacist involved? And we did. We showed, you know, a reduction in complexity of their regimens. We were able to get them on easier regimens that they were able to take and that they were more satisfied with, and they were more adherent to treatment. And then it was about that time, 2014, when the Hep C medications came out. And so I was very involved with rolling those out within the clinic, kind of counseling our providers and our nurse practitioners on what the new treatments were and how we were going to roll out treatment within the VA system. And so I had wonderful mentors in that clinic as well. Todd Holgan, who's an infectious disease doctor at Vanderbilt, really helped me, as well as my PGY2 mentor, Sean McFarlane, you know, tasking me with starting a clinic, but then supporting me through that was just something that I learned so much from, and I really carried forward into my next position. So in starting that HIV clinic and really a lot of the Hep C work, I knew I wanted to get into specialty. I had never heard of specialty pharmacy in pharmacy school or any of my rotations. So I really learned about it when I was looking for jobs, and Vanderbilt was just starting a specialty pharmacy. And they were mainly involved in oncology and multiple sclerosis and dermatology. But with the new Hep C drugs, they needed a pharmacist. So I started with Vanderbilt in 2014 in the infectious diseases clinic, working with hepatitis C patients. And at that time, we were treating a lot of HIV, Hep C co-infected. So it was really a perfect fit for me. And now it's migrated towards where we're treating a lot more IV drug users and patients with social issues. So it's very much a public health meets specialty pharmacy in terms of needing to help patients access medications, meeting them at the bus stop and filling their pill boxes was something that I did one afternoon. And I just loved it. I really loved caring for those patients, being able to cure a disease. I mean, it's pretty incredible. So love my time there. I was there for about 3 years. And over the course of that time, I had probably my most prominent mentor that has been in my career was an infectious disease doctor, Cody Chastain, in that clinic. He was a huge pharmacy advocate. And so again, a word to students is don't just look at pharmacists, but look beyond that. Anybody on the care team, whether it's a nurse or a nurse practitioner or a PA or a physician, we can learn so much from the rest of our healthcare team members as well. But Cody really taught me a lot about research. And so we did a few projects showing how my involvement in clinic allowed him to see more new patients as I was seeing all the patients for their monitoring. We got more patients on treatment more quickly. We had great cure rates, great success rates for our Hep C patients. And I love that role. And then we were able to use some of those studies to communicate to manufacturers that we worked with in the specialty pharmacy the value of our model. And so if you're not familiar with specialty pharmacy, when these medications come out, manufacturers can limit who can dispense them. So they can only go to certain specialty pharmacies. So even if I saw a patient in clinic, I counseled them. I helped get their medication approved. I helped get them copay cards. I would still have to send the prescription out to a different pharmacy for them to fill at. And that really kind of breaks up the continuity of care, my ability to manage and see that patient's journey. So we're able to.
That, but the fact that like you've now put another barrier to care. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing that's really important to highlight is that part of why pharmacy is so important in this role is because of access.
Totally.
And when you put these additional barriers to care, it's another potential reason why somebody doesn't get their medication on time or doesn't get their medication at all. I mean, I think you're probably very familiar with this, but the statistic that 20% of all prescriptions are never picked up from the pharmacy. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, how do you do that? You go to the patient at the bus stop, like mm-hmm. you go to where they are, you make sure that they are, you know, you use things like home health, like, which is also mm-hmm. super important within a pharmacy, specialty pharmacy space. Cause I see that now with the injectables mm-hmm. for HIV, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that's now another way that we're getting access to care because patients aren't able to get to the physician's office once a month to get their injectables.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it's so important. And I apologize for like interrupting.
No.
I just had a second where I was like, oh, this is like such a barrier to care. And it's like, it makes no sense. And obviously, there are parts within our healthcare system that still need a lot of work, but I'm glad that you were able to like really show hard data that mm-hmm. your model worked so that mm-hmm. you could expand access to these medications to your pharmacy.
Because you hit the nail on the head. That's exactly, exactly what so many patients, and that's really why Vanderbilt started our health system specialty pharmacy, is so many patients were coming back to clinic saying, oh, I never started it. They never called me. They couldn't, you know, I couldn't afford it. And so they were getting prescribed these potentially life-changing medications, but never getting started on them. Or they A lot of these medications require so much monitoring to get your refills. So you have to have labs every month and all of these things. And that's a lot for an external pharmacy that's not integrated into the health system to keep up with. And for the clinics, just get overwhelmed with trying to follow up on patient labs and, you know, get the fax off the fax machine to do the prior authorization and all of that. So we were able to show, like you said, hard data that I could reduce the time to medication initiation and keep patients on treatment longer, especially within PrEP. We just published that about our ability to keep patients on PrEP longer through a collaborative practice or using a collaborative practice agreement. So those studies, those initial research that I did in the ID clinic and we did in a few other areas of specialty really spoke volumes to the manufacturers. And so we got access to more of those limited distribution drugs because they saw the benefit. And so from that, we said, well, why don't we create an outcomes program? We know that we want to get into risk-based contracts, value-based contracts. We know that our model provides the best possible care. So we developed a program to really look at that, to see where are our gaps in care. We do an amazing job, but we can always do better. And how can we fill those gaps? And at the same time, how can we communicate our value of, hey, you really need a pharmacist and patients really benefit from having a pharmacist on the team to help patients access treatment and stay on treatment. So a lot of our studies have done just that, have shown how the model improves time to initiation, patient out-of-pocket costs. And so that's really big with these specialty medications of helping patients get copay cards or foundation assistance. And, you know, I don't know how familiar you are with these, but we're dealing a lot with manufacturer accumulator, copay accumulator programs where they limit how much of the copay card they can use. And so then you've got patients who have been on therapy but are now stuck with $2,000 a month that they can't pay. So really trying to help patients navigate that and stay on treatment, as well as, like I said, transportation issues, infusion site, you know, getting to your infusion or having a nurse come to your home, really serving as a care navigator in addition to a disease and medication expert. So it's a very unique role that our specialty pharmacists have and that I have in the ability to research it and continue to improve it. But I think, you know, I was able to take on this role because we saw the need to improve patient outcomes and how challenging it was, but also to communicate our value. So I've been very fortunate in that, and it's kind of come full circle because with the independent pharmacy, you know, I really got the relationship with patients and we have the relationship with patients in specialty, but you're also serving as their advocate. So there were times in the ID clinic, I would literally be on a legal proceeding with our Medicaid, where there was a lawyer, there was the patient, and there was me, and I was on the phone advocating for why they needed the medication, Hep C medication to cure them. So it's a really unique and important role that I've enjoyed, and I'm thankful for the mentorship to this point. And like I said, just kind of taking advantage of those opportunities.
What an incredible journey. I mean, you know, I vividly remember thinking when I met you, because we, the program that we, that they started with the PRNs was basically to adopt a resident, right? Like, mm-hmm. like we all adopted a resident, which was kind of fantastic. And they would match us based on like similar interests. And I remember like when I met you, I was like, wow, this girl already has her, you know what together, like not even hardly out of school. I was like, man, I wish I was this motivated. But like, it's just incredible to see like the growth over the, like, you know, just the past, you know, almost a decade. And I really appreciate the fact that you talked about other mentors other than just pharmacy, because I fully believe that as well. I also was lucky enough to be very close with and mentored by an infectious disease physician where I live, named Dr. Alan Greenberg, and he was incredible. You know, like just the opportunity that he gave me, being very pharmacy centric and really understanding the benefit of interdisciplinary care and having that pharmacist with you as a collaborator, not a competitor, which a lot of times you see within infectious disease, because there's this like, you know, hierarchy that like of doctors, right? Like there's like internists, but then it's like infectious disease is like up here. So it's like, you can't talk to them. You can't like question them, you know? So it's really lovely to hear you say that you also had somebody that believed in you and was very pharmacist centric and understood the, you know, just the kind of the secret sauce that is like that relationship when you, when it works well. And, you know, like, you know, the example that you gave of like that Hep C clinic and being there for that patient and, you know, that patient, if they didn't have you, like, their entire life would be totally different, not to mention the fact that their quality of life and their quantity of life would have been impacted had you not been able to advocate for them. And I think about a patient that we had, you know, we, you know, you don't often see leprosy in this country. And there's, I don't know how much you know about the Hansen Center in Louisiana, but we have a Hansen Center, which is what they call leprosy now. It's not the biblical kind that you typically see, but the Hansen Center in Louisiana, you know, people who end up with this disease, they can't travel there. Right. So, you know, so we had a patient that, you know, we diagnosed, came out that he had, you know, Mycobacterium leprae. And so we ended up managing him out of the TB clinic at my public health department.
Wow.
Because so many of the medications were similar and like we partnered together. So it was like known diagnosis, rare disease state, expensive medication, collaborating with the Hansen Center. And so we ended up treating him for about, ended up being almost 24 months and like ended up seeing him and his wife have like two kids. Like it was just like, you know, so like you get to know these patients, especially when it's something that is like so time consuming and requires so much monitoring. And it's like, you know, one of those things where it's like, now I can say like, you know, most people in their careers would never say that they've had an opportunity to, you know, treat someone with leprosy. And I was given that opportunity because the physician that I worked with believed in me and said, hey, we can do this and we don't have to send this patient out. We can find a way to treat him here and let's do this together.
Totally. Yeah. I think, oh, you hit so many great points there, but I think that that relationship is so important. I mean, there were patients that I literally like danced in the halls with after they had their Hep C treatment and how important that role can be. And then rare diseases. So that's another thing. So we just got our rare disease accreditation at Vanderbilt Specialty Pharmacy. I think we're one of 13 right now in the country. And so finding those patients is a huge public health initiative that we're doing, is combing our record to see who has these constellation of symptoms that they might be undiagnosed with a rare disease, and then getting them into our rare diseases clinics and getting them on treatment. And some of them require, there's one that we just got access to that requires an echo every single month that it affects what their dose is. And so having a pharmacist be able to manage those patients and follow up with those patients, make sure that they can afford their echo before they get it. And then when they get it, following up on the results and changing them. So it's a very close relationship. I still have patients. I've been out of the clinic for about 5 years now, but I still have patients that call me and I call them and I send, you know, holiday cards to, because it is such a special relationship. So I totally get that.
Awesome. Well, I know you've had some a little bit of an interesting detour in your journey. I don't know if you want to chat just briefly about your experience with your husband working in Africa and sort of how that may have changed or, you know, impacted your perspectives on your new patients. But would, you know, also want to put a plug in for anyone who has thought about global health or doing mission work or working in other countries. I think it is truly an experience that is life-changing. And I had an opportunity to help maintain one of our rotations for students to go to Guatemala with a colleague of mine. She actually started the Global Health PRN for ACCP. Unfortunately, she passed away. Mm-hmm. Her name is Renee Holder. But you know, so many amazing things that have come out of that initiative, and being able to allow students to have that experience, I think is just incredible. And so there's my plug for if you decide to do mission work, and it sounds like you were in Indonesia when you were a student, so that's really amazing. And would highly recommend if you are able to do it and it's not cost prohibitive or your school has scholarships for it, to definitely do it. But it sounds like, you know, we were chatting a little bit before we got on, that's something that you had an opportunity to do as a pharmacist. Mm-hmm. And what that experience was and how that impacted your ability to care for your patients.
Sure. Yeah. I think it definitely started with my time as a student pharmacist. So I just want to echo, if you have that opportunity, I honestly wish it was a mandatory experience that physicians and pharmacists and nurses that you had to go to a developing country to practice, because you have a completely different paradigm when you come back, that's for sure. So did a lot of work in Indonesia, but they were pretty advanced where I was in Jakarta, the capital, when I was able to practice there. We did a lot of teaching, but I had the opportunity. My husband is a surgeon, and so he did a global health fellowship in Tanzania, and so I was able to go with him. Vanderbilt was gracious enough to allow me to work very minimal, but kind of stay on staff and take 6 months to go to Tanzania, which is in East Africa. And we worked at the public health hospital there, Muhimbili. And so I really had no idea what I was going to do when I went. I tried to make some contacts actually through the Global Health PRN. There were a few people that had worked in Kenya close by and connected me with some other folks. And I just put out all the feelers for anybody that I knew, but really didn't have a great idea of what I was going to do going into it. And just sought out some of the pharmacists that were there, but also some of the faculty members, the infectious diseases HIV clinic provider there. And so I started teaching in the medical school. They said, yeah, let's get you in the pharmacotherapy class. So I was able to teach in the medical school as well as the pharmacy school. But really kind of my favorite part of our time there was working in the infectious diseases clinic. And so and hospital doing rounds. I learned much more than I taught on those. So seeing things that you've never seen before in the US. And then I was able to mentor a new pharmacist who had just started in their ICU on how to do rounds. So how to be a clinical pharmacist, because they were coming from outpatient. And again, I learned so much from them, but just kind of teaching them the process of how to work up a patient, what to look for. We made kind of a template for what they're going to use on their rounds, how to make recommendations and be a collaborative pharmacist there. So that was a very meaningful experience, in addition to getting to scrub in with my husband. And I actually got to put in a screw because he's a spine surgeon. So let me do one little piece of it. But it was an amazing experience. And what we learned the most from that was just the Tanzanian community. They're so relational. They literally hold hands walking down the street, you know, just as friends, and hugging each other and being there for each other and being a community. So we really learned that, you know, patient care is super important and holding these high standards, but also taking the time to connect with each other as healthcare providers, because it's really challenging, especially in that setting where you lose a lot of patients and they, you know, before they get to the hospital or once they get to the hospital, but taking the time to build friendships and mentor. So I have three, they were pharmacy technicians that I worked with in the hospital at that time, but two of them have gone to pharmacy school since that time, and I've kind of mentored them through that process. And then one is applying this year. So getting to serve as a mentor overseas. And then I have one pharmacist that I worked with in the cardiology hospital there that still texts me questions all the time. And so getting to build those relationships, learn so much from them and the way that they practice and the heart with which they practice, bringing that back, and really was an eye-opening experience of just what we have here and the ability to serve patients, not taking that for granted, but also kind of being scrappy and making use of everything that you can while advocating for the patient and building those relationships. So those were the main things that I learned. But I think if you can go and have that experience overseas, it really helps shape who you are as a person, which obviously affects who you are as a pharmacist. So highly recommend. Maybe you don't get to spend 6 months. If you do, that's great. But any amount of time that you can go, and I'd really make sure that kind of my two pearls that I would say, if you are going to do global health, is first to go in with a listening ear. I don't think that coming in and saying, hey, you need to be doing this. This is how you need to be doing it. This is the way we do it. But really kind of taking the time, which is why an extended period is so much better, but taking the time to watch and listen and learn about why they do things a certain way, because then you can fill in the gaps and you really want to make something that is sustainable after you leave, that is not just a hole that you can fill in, you know, a plug while you're there, but also something that works for them culturally and logistically. And then the other piece that I would say is build relationships, because even if it's 6 months, a year, 2 years, when you leave, you really want that impact to maintain. So we started some research projects that I'm still working on, again, mentoring, finding those young students, as well as the pharmacists that are practicing that you can keep relationships with. And so we were able to publish a paper. It's a called Pharmacy Practice in Tanzania. If you want to look at that, it's an inquiry. So that was the first publication for most of those pharmacists. So it was very exciting. And through that process, I was able to teach them how to do research as well. So they're kind of maintaining some of those projects. So go in with an open mind and a listening ear and really focus on building sustainable relationships.
Well, Autumn, this has been such an incredible conversation. I just want to definitely say, you know, personally, how proud I am of everything that you've accomplished in such a short period of time. And then also just saying, you never know who you may help, right? Like, you never know, like, who would have thought, you know, like, how many years later, you know? And so also just want to, you know, encourage people to share their gifts and, you know, speak up, share your voice. You never know who's listening and you never know who needs to hear what you have to say. And you know, if you have something that you're passionate about, if you know of something that you want to do, you know, speak it into existence, and let your intentions be known, because you never know who may be able to help you to reach your goals, or to advocate for you when you're not in the room. I think that's the other part of this process as well, is that, you know, it's not just about, you know, being in the room and speaking up and being heard, but are you able to be, your name be spoken in a room full of opportunity when you're not there? And I think that's what we should all be aspiring to do and to help, as we continue to collaborate with other providers. You know, I think about, you know, when I spoke with Sandra Leal right before she took over as president of APHA, and how she told me how much she learned from, you know, the work that she's done with migrant worker organizations at the border in Arizona, and just thinking like how out of the box that is, but how meaningful that is, you know, to be able to help that population, which is such a need, and how she was able to really like go within the ranks within that organization because they never even thought about including pharmacy, you know? And so just really think about blazing your own trail and never, you know, never thinking, oh, well, pharmacists haven't done this or a pharmacist doesn't do this. Well, does that mean that you can't? It just means that it hasn't been done yet, but you can blaze that trail. So
yeah, follow your heart, follow your passion, and that will take you where you need to go, and advocate for yourself, advocate for pharmacists. I'm so passionate now about research, not because I love writing manuscripts, but because we have to get the word out there, and not just in peer-reviewed journals, but like this, the forum with podcasts and, you know, tertiary journals, Twitter, all of those things. Share what you're doing, because we need to know about it, and pharmacists need to be recognized for the great work that they're doing. So yeah, I love that. Follow your heart.
Absolutely. Well, Autumn, if people want to find out what you're doing, or if they want to follow your research or find out more about, you know, Vanderbilt or the specialty programs that you're running, or even if they want to think about starting their own program in their own facility, how can they get in touch with you? How can they find out what you're up to?
Sure. So you're more than welcome to email me at autumn.zuckerman@vmc.org, V as in Vanderbilt, UMC.org, or vanderbiltspecialtypharmacy.com. We have all of our research there. We have a health outcomes and research page where you can see all of our publications and presentations. Or I believe my Twitter handle is autumn/Zuck, Z-U-C-K. So not super active there. And of course, LinkedIn. You can find me on LinkedIn as Autumn Zuckerman. But very happy to share. I talk to someone almost every week about starting outcomes research and the need for it in specialty pharmacy in particular. So happy to answer any questions, and really appreciate you having me on the podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for what you're doing for the profession, what you're doing for your patients, which is so impactful, and really appreciate your time and, you know, just continued success. Like, please keep shining. Like, it's such an inspiration. So with that, I am your host, Dr. Christina Madison. You can find me at The Public Health Pharmacist on your favorite social media platform. Please follow me for more episodes with incredible guests like Autumn. And remember, public health matters.
Stay safe, be well, and remember, public health matters.